welcome to the community. Welcome to the Community for a Better Living radio program. It is our intention to entertain and amuse you, make you think and chuckle, and most importantly, have some fun. We focus on all aspects of health, medicine, and wellness, paying special attention to living life to the fullest. To ask any questions from our guests or of the program, you can visit us at nwhealthcarecenter.com or like us on Facebook by visiting Northwest Healthcare Center. The topic of today's program is it's an opportunity for you to get to meet Dr. Luke Smith, who is a new addition to our team here at Northwest Healthcare Center. And so we'll be getting an opportunity to visit with Dr. Luke Smith today. We're glad to have you, Luke.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, like Dr. Jim said, my name is Luke Smith. I'm from Burlington, Wisconsin. Grew up there. Currently living there. I'm married. I got a daughter whose name is Emma. She's a little over 7 months right now. So we're still enjoying the starting to get in the fun age of trying to talk and move around. And big sports fan. Love the. I went to the University of Wisconsin, so I'm a big Badgers fan. We'll probably lose some patience with this, but I'm a big Packers fan. So. Like to be outdoors, play with my two dogs. Me and my wife like to watch a lot of movies, just spend time with the family, and just excited to be a part of the team here.
Excellent. Well, you know what? As long as you threw down the Packer thing, Luke, I think we got to start with that because we've got it is fall, and since you mentioned that you're from Wisconsin, one of the things that you shared with me. Tell some of our listening audience about your dad. I thought that still stuck out in my mind.
Sure. So my dad, I'm pretty tall myself. I'm about 6'5". My dad actually dwarfs me a little bit. He's about 6'8", maybe 6'8 and a half technically. And when he was in high school, the average size of their offensive line in high school was actually bigger than the Green Bay Packers at the time. And that's kind of a story that he told me one time and I always thought was really cool, and he tells it to a lot of people, and just it's not many times you'll find a high school that has bigger offensive linemen than a professional team. But
absolutely, and we've got lots of patients who are Bears fans, and so mm-hmm. that Bears Packers rivalry lives very large. Well, good, thanks for sharing that. You know, obviously being a healthcare clinic here, we work with a lot of patients who are in pain. We also work with a lot of sports medicine injuries. We work with, you know, companies who've got people who get injured on the job and people who are in car accidents. So a lot of people who come see us here are in pain. So what I want them to do is get to know you a little bit better. So we've got some questions that will help people to get to know you a little bit better. Are you prepared for those questions is what I need to know from you?
I think so. Well, we're ready to get started, I think.
All right. So, Luke, this is for our patients so that they get to know you. Tell me what your favorite movie is, and if you were a superhero, what superhero would you be?
Well, being a big sports fan, I got a couple favorite movies. I'd say being a sports fan, a couple of them are Hoosiers and Major League. I'm a big fan of, especially being a Brewers fan. I like Bob Uecker a lot, and I think he just steals the show in that movie. And also, kind of a newer movie I really like is The Dark Knight. And I'd say Batman's probably up there with my favorite superhero, but I'd have to go with Wolverine. He's always been a favorite of mine since I was a little kid. So.
All right. There we have it. These are very important things for our patients to know, so thanks for sharing that. How about if you would pick a character from fiction, what character would you be? And tell us a little bit why.
I would say probably Sherlock Holmes. Just watching the movies, I always thought he was real interesting, and just his attention to detail and every little aspect I always thought was real interesting and kind of cool, and he just was always an interesting character to me in terms of movies and attention to detail and different things like that. And I always thought being a detective would be kind of interesting.
It probably leads into your job, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you do what you mm-hmm. do.
Yeah. It's, in a way, you're kind of a health detective. You get through the clues that the patient gives you to try to kind of figure out what's wrong with them. So.
Sure, I can see where those, that would be a crossover for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. All right, third and final question of this round in okay. order to progress to the next round.
Okay.
All right. If aliens landed down on our planet here and held us captive, and held the planet captive, what would you say to them? What would you do? What would be your response to them?
Well, I would hope that it would be more of the E.T. type encounter than other type of alien movies that they have out there where they're blowing up the White House or something. But if they were to offer me a position, I would probably say president, because who could say that they're president of a planet? I mean, you could say you're president of the United States or king of England or king of an area, but not many people could say that they're president of a whole planet, which would be kind of cool.
That's a good answer. Absolutely. As long as they don't take you back on the ship.
Yeah,
then,
yeah. I'll administer from afar.
Very well said. All right, so those are some just kind of some fun things for people to get to know you. But the other thing I'm sure people would want to know is tell us a little bit about your theory on healthcare. You know, you're obviously a chiropractor, and give patients an idea of some of your philosophy, you know. Why did you choose to be a chiropractor, for example?
Sure. When I was in high school, I was in football and basketball, participated in a lot of sports, and just the aches and pains of going through practice and different things like that, and you'd come home and take like a Tylenol or something, and it wouldn't really fix what the problem was. And my mom had gone to a chiropractor for as long as I could remember, and she said, well, your back's bothering you, let's go to the chiropractor. And it always seemed like no matter what he did, that always seemed to get me better. And then just going through college, I wanted to do something in the healthcare field, but I wasn't quite sure. So I started kind of researching different things, and I got more into like anatomy and physiology, and that kind of led me into the chiropractic field, kind of deals more with that kind of stuff, and shadowed a couple doctors and really liked what I saw. And just being involved with sports, I wanted to do something still involved with that, so I saw that you had a lot of opportunity doing that kind of stuff too, and that's kind of where I ended up today then.
So sports medicine is quite a bit of your focus. That's what you've worked with in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. What's been some of your experience, you know, in your internship with that?
I got to go... A bunch of us interns got to go down and we visited with the Chicago Blackhawks doing their kind of general, their first day of practice. They come in and they get like their general blood taken, do just basic physicals to start the season. So we got to assist with that. And then also one of the clinicians at school, it's in Lyle, it's Benedictine University. He's the team chiropractor for that. So we got to go and assist him, and he kind of just oversaw us treating athletes and stuff there. So we got to kind of firsthand get to treat some college athletes that way. And we didn't get to treat the Blackhawks player, but we at least, it was cool getting to interact with them and just kind of seeing how their a professional athlete's life and kind of setup is.
Sure.
Below the United Center and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So it was a neat experience just to get to see all that and kind of see what they all do. They're there 8 hours that first day just going through different tests and different things like that just to get ready for the season. So.
Oh, good experience.
Yeah.
Sure, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So what can patients expect like on a first visit for you? I know there's some... Dispel some of the rumors. Like one of the things I hear from some people, they're concerned about that cracking noise. Another concern I sometimes hear from people is, well, if I see a chiropractor, does that mean I need to go forever?
Sure.
Like, so those are some of when I've mentioned that to people in the past. So dispel some of those rumors for people. Like, explain a little bit. That's what I was saying, like your philosophy. Explain that a little
sure.
bit more.
Sure. So really what kind of... In general, what chiropractic, our philosophy at our school we're taught is what you want to do is you want to restore motion to the body. So anytime a person comes in, they say they're feeling stiff or they have problems, a lot of time it's due to decreased motion in the joint or a repetitive use injury. So what's going to happen when you have less motion in the joint, then you get, what's going to happen is you're going to get a buildup of, it's actually carbon dioxide in the joints. And then what our job is when we restore kind of the motion in the joints through chiropractic adjustments, the popping or the cracking you're hearing is just the gas that's being released from the joint. It's nothing harmful. It's just the gas that's being released from the joint as the motion's being restored. And in terms of different treatments, I've also heard a lot of concerns about that. The treatment, the length of time is going to coincide with what your problem is. If you come in and, oh, I slept funny on my neck, it feels weird, can you take a look at it? That's going to be totally different than, oh, I was playing football and I blew out my knee and I'm still having problems from that. Like, different problems are going to coincide with different issues, but each issue will kind of take it and get a specific treatment plan for each person. It's not going to be, I need you to, no matter when you come in, I'm going to have to see you every day for this week, for the next month before, and then we'll be able to assess better how you are going to respond from that. Each person's going to have their own specific treatment plan based off of their problem, and off of there, it's going to determine how much they're going to need to come in then. And part of it, too, is the patient's going to take responsibility in their own healthcare, too. The faster they want to get better and the more they don't want to deal with this problem anymore, well, then they're going to have to take a kind of a role in their own healthcare and do exercises that we give them at home or come in more often. The faster they want to get it done, they might have to come in more often right away, whereas the more busy they are, it might take a little longer for it to go away. So just kind of depending on the condition that you have might depend on how long your treatment's going to last. But it's not going to be, you have to come in 3 times a week for the rest of your life, and I'm going to have to see you every day, otherwise you're never going to get better. No, it's not going to be anything like that.
Well, I like what you said, that idea of restoring movement to the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the restrictions, a lot of the restrictions that people have, short of an injury, meaning a car accident or a traumatic fall, a lot of the overuse or postural stuff that we see is really related to the positions that people assume throughout the course of their everyday.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the questions I'll get from people, let's say someone who works a desk job, they'll be like, well, I never had numbness in my right hand. Why did I all of a sudden wake up with it? You know, and what I like to tell people is like, when I look at their alignment or their lack of range of motion, I'm like, well, I'm surprised you've actually gotten this far before you did get that numbness.
Yeah.
That's actually more the amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so often people will focus on, you know, say, let's say a low back problem. Well, they'll say, all I did was I bent over and picked up that coin off the ground. I'm like, well, it wasn't that movement. You know, coin is nothing. It's everything you did up to that point.
Exactly, yep.
Which created that imbalance, and that just happened to be the straw that broke the camel's back. You know,
exactly,
that's what got you in here, but a lot of things were going wrong before that, you know, which set you up so that something so simple, which anybody should be able to do, you know, wouldn't cause people problems, but
exactly, yep.
That's what set you over the edge. So I like the other thing, you know, here at Northwest Healthcare Center, one of the things we often say, you know, helping patients help themselves, and I like what you alluded to, that you'll show people the things once you work with the joints and reset the spine, that you'll show people things to do to maintain that. Talk a little bit more about that. What are some examples of what that might be?
Sure. So really, when you come in, depending on, once you kind of get out of the acute stage where it's real painful, we'll start incorporating different things, like different exercises, and it's not going to be where you're going to have to put on sweats or shorts or anything, because you're going to be sweating up a storm. It's just a couple simple exercises you'll do at home, and it's just kind of exercises they work to restore strength to the area that you may have lost due to the decreased motion, and they're just going to keep motion in the area, and also the goal too is to kind of find something to give you where when, let's say you're at work, you're working at a desk, it's like, oh, I got numbness and stuff down my arm, it's really bothering me right now. The goal kind of is to give you a couple exercises where when you have a flare-up or something like that, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can do these exercises to at least give me some relief and get me through the day. And then maybe if I need to call them up to say, hey, I've got a little bit of a flare-up, can you look at this? Or the real goal is to say, here are a couple exercises, do these, and then they have something, oh, my arm's bothering me, they do them, they're like, okay, now it's gone, now I'm okay. And the goal is to kind of give you stuff to be able to sustain your health on your own, where you don't have to come in and see us all the time unless you have other issues arising, and then we can help you out in other ways too. But the real goal is to try to find something, exercises, some type of something you can do on your own to give you some type of relief where it's not reliant on us all the time to give you something too. Because we know you're busy and you can't stop in here every time you get a little flare up of something wrong with you.
It almost sounds like what you're talking about is a prescription set of movements that are custom tailored
mm-hmm.
to each patient.
Exactly.
Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly.
So whereas like some of our friends who are doctors might give people a muscle relaxer or painkiller, you're saying you'll give your patients a prescription set of movements. Hey, when you're in pain, try these movements.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
And ideally, like what a medical doctor hopes to do, you give them the exercises and then eventually he's going to taper you off of them. Well, eventually we'll make them harder and harder for you until you master them, and then we taper them off and say you don't need to do them as much, or you have something, you get a flare up, you're driving for 6 hours going on vacation, your low back's bothering you, here are a couple exercises you can keep doing again just to kind of keep it you going, so you don't need to
keep doing that forever, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Good. So, because that is one of the questions. If I give patients exercise, they're like, is this something I have to do forever?
Mm-hmm.
And so, one of the things I'll say is like, well, you brush your teeth every day, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like, these are things that maintain your spine, keep mm-hmm. your joints healthy. So, it depends upon people's activity level. So, mm-hmm. your idea of driving a car for 6 hours, sitting in a car seat, most people, I would guess, don't do that on a regular basis.
Exactly.
So that places stress on the spine.
Mm-hmm.
You need something that will bring the spine back into balance, and that's what movement does.
Exactly, yep.
Right? Excellent. So give people a little bit more of an image or an idea of what a first visit might look for somebody. So you mentioned, you know, the idea that you'll implement exercises, but if someone would come to see you for the first time, what could they expect?
Okay, so what we'll do, you'll come in, you'll probably fill out your kind of basic paperwork of what, some general questions, what's bothering you. We'll go through a pretty detailed history of your issue, how long it's been going on for, what's bothering you, different circumstances with that. Then we'll kind of ask you some also family history questions as well regarding just general health about your parents, grandparents, just to rule out any other pathologies, cancers, different things like that. Then we'll go through a pretty detailed physical exam. It'll involve, we'll bend you around, twist you, ask you if this hurts, do some range of motion. We'll test some muscles to make sure strength and everything is good, the nervous system, everything's intact. And then based off of kind of where your pain is, we might kind of examine your abdomen and your heart and your chest, because a lot of times those symptoms that occur there can mimic other problems in your shoulders or your knees or your head or your neck, different things like that. And then from there, we'll kind of go over a report of findings. We'll just kind of tell you what we found, what we think the problem is. We may suggest, and then from there, we'll even determine if chiropractic care is the right route for you. If we find something wrong and it's like, we should have a medical doctor look at this, this might be a little out of our range where we can help you, we'll refer you to whoever can get you help. Otherwise, if we think we can help you, if we may need imaging, we might send you out for imaging. A lot of instances that isn't the case. But
just to explain to our patients, by imaging you mean?
Like x-rays, maybe an MRI or something. Just to check the integrity of the joint if we suspect there might be some type of issue there. A lot of cases that won't be, but you do have instances where you need an x-ray or an MRI just to rule something in or rule something out. And then from there, we'll let you know what we find. We'll set up a treatment plan, kind of tell you how often we think we need to see you, what we plan on doing in terms of treatment with exercises, adjustments. We'll do stretching. We have massage therapy here, reflexology, that we're all going to kind of incorporate into with all of our patients. So you might see all of them too. And then from there, we'll go on and we'll see you when you come in next time. We'll give you stuff to exercise to hopefully make you feel better, get you into your next appointment, and then we'll slowly start to resolve your issue and hopefully get you back on your way.
That's quite comprehensive. You know, so you're saying on that first visit, people can expect everything from, you know, having their range of motion checked if it's necessary, a basic internal organ exam if necessary, if their symptoms would warrant that, but even some orthopedic and neurological tests.
Correct, yep.
And then if based on that, it would be something that isn't in your realm of practice, you would refer someone to a medical doctor if necessary, or, you know, progress to x-rays or MRIs, that kind of thing. So it really sounds what you're saying, that each person's initial visit will be different based on what they present with.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that team approach, like you said, we've got other practitioners here at the office, massage therapists, reflexologists, other healthcare professionals who can help support their treatment program as well.
Yep. And a lot of, if you're listening to this and you've been here before, you know, the standard that Dr. Jim kind of has here, you know, it's a pretty high standard, and it's definitely something that I'm going to work to maintain here, because he's got a lot of patients who like him too. So we're going to make sure we maintain that standard and keep everything how he's had it too. So.
Excellent. One of the things I just thought of as people are listening, and we should address this when we're talking about treatment programs, is the insurances that we accept here. You know, I think it's important that people recognize that we work with, you know, all the major insurance companies, and when we're talking about putting treatment programs together, that our staff here, Michelle, will work with your insurance and answer those insurance questions for people.
Mm-hmm.
So the people know that we take all the major insurances and we'll work with
them. And Michelle's great. If you have any problems, she'll take care of that right away and help you out in any way.
Excellent. Good. That's just important for people to know. We do work with people on that level as far as that's concerned. All right. So we've got some of that medical understanding for people. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit here, because there's a lot of people who will be listening to this who have not come here, who aren't familiar with either of us really. So these are important questions that people are going to want to know aside from chiropractic, all right?
Yep.
So we're switching gears here a little bit. So if Hollywood made a movie about your life, who would you want to play the lead role? And what would be the name of that movie? These are things patients want to know, Luke.
That's a detailed question.
Absolutely.
That's a two-parter.
Absolutely.
I would say, for someone to play me, I've always been a big Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell fan, because I think they're pretty funny. And they're both tall like me, so they kind of fit that. But, I mean, if they want to get someone who looked like me, I'd say Brad Pitt or George Clooney, of course.
I like this. All right.
I actually asked my wife this one time, who do you think would play me in a movie if they made a movie about me? And she just looked at me and said, why would they ever make a movie about you? So she kind of burned me there. But I guess if they were to maybe name a movie after me, it'd be The Road Less Traveled, I guess. Just because with my family, I'm kind of the first one in my family ever to go into the healthcare field and just different things like that, and just kind of the road less traveled with all my family. They all kind of went in other aspects so
you're the first person that went that healthcare route
in the healthcare route, yep, did something a little different. So
all right, So if people can visualize a cross between Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, George Clooney, ooh, that's quite a...
maybe don't envision
Brad
that.
Pitt, I don't know. That's quite an image. Those computer programs, you know, where you can overlap the faces, yeah. That kind of thing, I don't know. Woo! All right. So how about, next question. If you could trade places with any person, living or dead, you know, famous or not famous, who would you want to trade places with and why?
I always thought it would be cool to trade places with Abraham Lincoln just because he always seemed to have a real interesting life and that he was president and he pretty much shaped the whole history of our country, but he came from such a modest background compared to presidents now come from big, wealthy families and most of them fight in the military and stuff, and his background was just totally different from then. And I always thought also it'd be interesting just to be kind of like the monks in, like, India, like the ones who take, like, a vow of silence their whole life, just to... It's just something totally different than our whole culture and America and just something totally the exact opposite, and living in silence for a week would, I think, would be just real interesting compared to however the hectic, crazy lifestyle everybody lives now.
Good, now we can throw in the Dalai Lama with George Clooney,
yeah.
And Vince Vaughn. Okay, the picture's coming even more clear here. I see, quite the package, really, right? Yep. Exactly. Good, yeah, Abraham Lincoln, he's quite a historical picture, there's no doubt about that. Here's switching gears a little bit, tell people what if you opened up your refrigerator today, what would you find in your refrigerator?
Well, I'm a chiropractor, so I have to say fruits and vegetables, right?
That would be the right answer, right?
Well, I mean, we got fruits, vegetables, your usual stuff.
But we're
in your
being
house.
Honest here, right? This is
I gotta say, ever since I was in middle school, my one vice is peanut butter M&Ms. They're my favorite candy. I love them. I get them all the time at the store. That's just the one thing I always like. My dad always used to buy them for me when I was a kid for my birthday and stuff. That's the one thing I always remember. So.
And you got hooked on them. Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, peanuts or peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
Okay. We got to make the distinction. Yep. All right.
Oh, that's
I'm still a fan of peanuts are fine too, but it's the peanut butter ones.
Gotcha.
That sounds kind of good, right?
It does. All right. Last question for this segment here. What was the last book that you read?
I read this book called Digital Fortress, I think it was called, by Dan Brown. He's the same guy who wrote, like, The Da Vinci Code and stuff.
Okay.
And for the people who are scared away from his writings because they think it's, like, anti-church and stuff, like, this is just totally, he's a great writer. It has nothing to do with the church if you're scared off of reading about stuff that you don't, not interested in reading stuff like that. It's just... A different, same style of writing, it just has nothing to do with that type of stuff, but a real interesting book. And I also just finished this book, it's called Wheat Belly. It's actually by William Shelton. He's a cardiologist in Milwaukee, and he kind of just dispels all the myths about how they kind of push how whole healthy grains are what you should be eating, and they're really healthy for you, and his whole book kind of shows how healthy grains and wheat and everything, since it's been so genetically so modified over the last 100 years to be able to grow more of it and grow better wheat so it can reach everywhere around the world, how our bodies really aren't made for that yet and how the adverse effects that it's actually having. And he kind of suggests just avoiding wheat and grains and everything in general, even though the American Heart Association is pushing that whole healthy grains is the way to keep a healthy heart, and really he shows that that's not really true. So
say a little bit more about that, because it's funny that you mentioned it. I would say in the last month, the number of patients that are even aware of gluten sensitivity and that have found that that's true for themselves or family members, where maybe they've gone through a lot of blood tests and different things which haven't shown anything. So it's interesting. That's very timely, I would say.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, I I kind of got into it just because that's kind of becoming a big thing that's becoming more recognized out there in the health field. And plus, I have a cousin who has, a cousin and my uncle, they both have Crohn's disease, and they kind of, just being a healthcare provider in the family, they asked me like what they can do. And this book just kind of shows how people with the gluten sensitivity, a lot of them may have this, but they don't always have the symptoms of just the digestive issues where they would have nausea and diarrhea and different things like that. Like a lot of people can express these symptoms in different ways with excessive weight gain and skin issues, cardiovascular, a lot of cholesterol issues, just different things like that where they don't necessarily have wheat or gluten sensitivity. They may not test positive for the markers, but that it has adverse health effects for them in other ways.
And so for our listening audience, mention that book again, because it sounds sure. like that's a really up-to-date, you know.
Yeah, it's I think, I want to say it came out last year or so. It's called Wheat Belly. It's by William Shelton. He's a cardiologist out of Milwaukee. It's if you're worried about the science and stuff, it's pretty straightforward, where if you don't have a lot of science background, you could read it and get the gist of what he's trying to tell you about. And also, if you're interested in learning more about that type of stuff and you read the book and you have questions, you can always stop into and ask about it, and we can kind of coach you through and just give you advice. And the good thing about the book too is it has a lot of good advice on how to cut wheat out of your diet. A lot of people say, well, if I cut wheat and bread and cookies and all the stuff I really like out of my diet, like I'm going to be eating seeds and grass for the rest of my life. And he actually...
Well, that sounds attractive.
Yeah. He actually has... the last chapter is real great because he kind of tells you how you can cut that out of your diet, and tons of great things to eat and different recipes of just... You can still eat like a normal person and have good food and eat sweets and stuff and not necessarily have to cut out all the, still get by and get your sweet tooth and stuff without cutting out all the cookies and cakes and all that.
Not eliminating all the fun out of your life.
Exactly.
All right. So let's switch gears a little bit, just in terms of, again, talking about your profession and how you practice. I appreciate what you shared about a first visit, and you talked about how that idea of getting the joints to move, you know, that's a great description, I think, in terms of chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
And even what that noise is, you know, explaining to people what that noise is. Is that another question I know I get asked by some patients is, you know, does that hurt? So does it have to, when you hear that crack noise, is that something that I'm going to be in pain either while someone does that or afterwards? Mm-hmm. I know that's a concern that people have, so speak to that a little bit, please.
Sure. So the majority of people actually feel better after they have this done, because you're taking a joint, you're restoring. The best example I could kind of give is if you ever break your arm and you have your arm in a cast where your elbow is kind of bent and you can't extend your elbow or anything like that, and you got the cast and your arm in a cast for 3 months, then you get it out and you start bending your arm and you're like, oh, it feels stiff. But once you start getting it moving and you get it back, then it's like, it feels a lot better. Well, that's kind of the same thing, the same general principle that occurs here. It's just not just to the elbow, like in the example, it'd be to the spine or the knee or the hips or the low back, just any type of thing like that, where we're going to help restore that motion and it's going to feel better because you're getting more motion in the area. And a lot of people may, if you've never had a chiropractic adjustment or never had anything like that, and the first treatment might be a little painful just with it's something new, but especially if you've never had it before, we're not going to come in and we're not going to crank on you real hard and do stuff like that. We're going to ease into it too. And it all starts out too with, we'll feel the area that's bothering you. Let's say it's your low back. We'll feel kind of down it. And just even based off of us just feeling it, we can tell based off of the pressure that we're giving, even if you could tolerate something like that. So the first day it might just be just some movement in the area that will give you kind of a, what's called a mobilization. We'll just kind of push on it gently. And then we'll see how you can handle that even the first day, just to, we'll progress you into more of a adjustment per se that a normal chiropractor would give. Because we don't, the last thing we want you to do, you come in pain, the last thing we want you to do is go back home in pain. So we'll kind of, based on patient tolerance is where we'll go on from there.
One of the things that I will tell the people who are listening that attracted me to Luke was he shadowed me here in the office and he saw some of the joint mobilization techniques, which are ways to move the bones in the joints. And that tends to be more of my preference, but when he knows how I treated that, our philosophies are very similar. You know, that we will treat to patient tolerance. You know, so there's obviously an ideal of what we want to do and create in terms of creating movement within the joint, but it should never be beyond someone's comfortability. One of the things I like to say to patients here is, you know, you're in charge of this treatment program. So you can heal as fast or as slow as you want to. So some people want to speed it up, and they'll say, "Doc, give me all the things, you know, that I can do at home. I'll do five. I'll spend an hour a day doing my rehab. You know, I'll come here 3 times a week to jumpstart the program." And other people, that's not realistic in their life. They need to come in once a week, and they'll like, "Don't give me anything longer than 15 minutes, because if you do, I'm not gonna be able to manage that." And Luke really fits into that philosophy. You know, we've had personal discussions, and certainly in terms of that idea of working with joints, it'll always be to patient tolerance.
Exactly. And another thing I forgot to mention too, some people can't tolerate getting all that too the first treatment. So, or they may get it done and they just come back and they say, "Yeah, I didn't like the way that felt last time." So if you ever come in and you get it done and you just don't like the way that it feels, we can give you more, we can give you less, it's however you respond to it too is how we're going to proceed with it also.
Yeah, so you'll definitely work with people, and I think you're a great listener, Luke. I actually know that about you from the time we spent together, and that's important in terms of being a doctor. One of the things that I'll say, the word doctor in Latin means teacher. And so any doctor should be a teacher in terms of educating people, not only on what their condition is, but how they can manage that. And you definitely fulfill that role. And so I, as people are listening to you, I know that they're getting that. Mm-hmm. They're getting that from you. So in conclusion here, tell people a little bit more about, you know, you mentioned you're a father, you're a husband. You've taken a different track as far as medicine, but what are some of your hobbies? What do you do when you're not in the office?
Well, I have a new daughter, so I like to play with her a lot. My mom, my parents, and my wife's parents both live close to us, so we try to go visit them as much as we can. My wife's parents have a little hobby farm with, like, horses and chickens, and they're just getting some cows now, so usually get pulled in to help bale hay and different things like that. So try to help out with them as much as we can. And we just like to get out, go on walks, go see movies and different things like that. And just nothing too crazy, just more of a homebody type person. But
great. Well, thanks for spending time with us here on the Community for Better Living radio show. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to remind people that if you've got any questions for either Dr. Luke or myself, or any of the staff here, you can visit us on our website at nwhealthcarecenter.com, or you can go to Facebook and look for Northwest Healthcare Center and like us. So thanks again for listening, and have a great week, everybody.